This episode of For Geek's Sake brought to you by that guy. That guy. He's awesome.
I need help reacting to something.
Valar Morghulis.
Yes. All men must die. But we are not men.
This is my boomstick!
But anger makes you stupid. Stupid gets you killed.
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster, she says.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al, in the studio today with Danielle.
Hi, guys.
And we are pleased to welcome back a favorite of the show, Mr. Dan Rogers. Dan, how are you?
Hello, welcome.
Wait, I thought his name was Dan Parker.
Who's Dan Parker?
I don't...
No, the last time we did an episode, his name was Dan Parker.
Not that I recall.
No.
We'll let the listeners go back to the other
You're thinking of Dan Benoit. He was the guy who was on last week.
Yeah, yeah.
No. There's a Dan Parker.
I'm sure there are lots of Dan Parkers out there.
So
I can go to Facebook right now.
I'm sure there's
I can find Dan Parker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too.
LinkedIn. I'm sure LinkedIn has several.
Yeah,
Dan, I mean, it's a strong name.
Yeah.
But Dan Rogers. So Dan, we're so glad to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We really, he was on our tech and cars episode.
Yes.
As we discovered why self-driving cars were going to take over and destroy the world.
Oh, right. Yeah.
No, that's my opinion.
Right. With your opinion, we were fleshing out your opinion and saying that, yeah.
Right, no, absolutely.
We got your notes and we went over them.
It's going to happen. It was a good episode.
I'm a big fan of it. So, we are going to, here's the thing. If you're a long-time listener to the show, that's weird because this is only episode 20. So you're not that long of an episode.
If you're a...
Yes,
you're a short, so long-term exciting. Listener.
If you've been listening if you're an early adopter, I think is what we would. Is that right? That's the right term.
But technically,
right?
Yeah, sure. We don't have 20 episodes that we publish; just 20 episodes we've recorded. Correct?
Yes.
Because there are like five
archives.
Or six lost.
You heard the lost episodes.
I went in and took a magnet to the hard drive. Right. I was like, "Get rid of these."
And by lost, we mean took out back and shot.
I'm telling you, we can still release them.
Actually,
let's
Dan,
do some special episodes.
Dan Rogers actually was on that first episode with Eddie, who was our guest last week.
Yep.
The episodes 1 and 2, which will honestly never see the light of day. Those were.
I thought they were good episodes.
Yeah.
They were just.
It was just a couple jokes that people made that weren't great. So, you know.
And also, Al didn't understand. You know, tech yet.
I understood tech. I just failed to do it properly.
I mean,
like, there's a big difference there. Like, I mean, I know how to drive well. I just failed to do it properly.
I mean, if you've been listening since our first released episode, you know it's been a long, arduous task of Al getting our levels right, and he has done an amazing job.
That's true.
Getting that.
It only took
correct.
Me about 15 episodes to remember
only
how to
15.
Run a soundboard.
Yeah. 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 But good job for you. Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah. You know what's embarrassing is I get paid to run a soundboard. you know, and I have been paid to run soundboards for a long time.
Right.
But for some reason, when I sat down to do it with the most basic setups ever, I'm like, I don't get it. What's this knob do again? Like, it's not. Anyway, so we're going to do some For Geek, This Week in Geek, because our show is For Geek's Sake.
You're fired already.
Oh, man, I did not make it far at all this week. I was
like,
really.
Not even 4 minutes.
I was really, really hoping to
if
get a little bit.
If you could just get the segment and our name correct, then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do?
All right.
Ooh,
so
actually, Dan, you are you're a fellow Heroes fan, Heroes Reborn fan.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the new, the little mini-episode things they've got?
Oh, the ones that were dropping online?
Yeah, there's like six of them.
No, actually, I haven't actually gotten to them yet.
I haven't either.
So this is, if you've been kind of on the fence about this, if you've been wondering whether or not Heroes Reborn is going to be more like season one or season five, Season
5 doesn't exist.
Right.
I thought there was only the two seasons. Am I completely mistaken?
Here's the thing. I sat down to watch all of these because I've had a lot of hope for what they've got going on here. And I sat down and watched all six of the little mini episodes. Each one's only like maybe 5 to 10 minutes long.
Okay.
I gotta tell you, it tells a fantastic, full, and complete story. It's basically a prequel for the series.
Each episode tells a story, or the six episodes together tells a story?
The six episodes tell a story together.
Okay.
And it's a found footage kind of deal, and it tracks it. Because here's the idea behind it. This is what I was really, really impressed with. The idea of what they're saying is everything that happened in season 1 through 5 unfortunately happened.
I like that they're not ignoring it. I do like that fact because I hate it when they ignore things that actually happen.
Right. Well, at the end of season five, this is not a spoiler because don't ever go watch it. But at the end of season five, the last thing that happens on the season, what ended up being the series finale, is Claire, who is the girl, the cheerleader, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world, the one who couldn't die. She's got a large crowd watching her while she had, and a camera recording her. She climbs up to the top of a Ferris wheel, jumps off, lands, breaks her bones and does whatever else, stands up, shows herself healing, and says, "My name is Claire Bennett," and that's attempt number, well, honestly, I don't remember anymore. And that's the last thing that you see happen.
I just got chills. I love that.
So the premise of the show, where the show picks up, is that aired 10 years ago. So what they've said is, wow, it's been 10 years. We pick up exactly where where season 5 left off just 10 years later.
But Claire's not in it, right?
No, Claire's dead.
How did she die?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Is that covered in the...
It's not, but it's one of the questions that Heroes Reborn is going to be exploring.
I love it.
So, this is the part where I'm starting to get... I was like, okay, so in the intervening years, and I'm not going to get too much into the... Because I really think you should watch the prequels.
I'm going to watch those.
But the premise says, okay, it's been 10 years. Now what's happened? These people that have these special abilities have come out. People now know they exist. Like, the general public knows they exist. What happened? And that has been I loved it.
Let me tell you, I think that the creators and the producers are genius for releasing these mini episodes, because I feel like a lot of people are scared to fall in love with Heroes Reborn because they were so betrayed by seasons 3 through 5 that I feel like there's going to be a lot of loyal fans that don't want to go and watch this. But I feel like if you go and watch these mini episodes and you can fall in love with just a 5-minute clip, then you're going to be okay watching the
series.
It just
feels so like early 2000s, you know? Like, I should say mid-2000s, when they had like all of those like little mini webisodes, is what they always called them, like for The Office and all the NBC shows had these like tiny little things. They were just so stupid and horrible. They used all the characters that like no one really cared about because they were the only ones that would actually sit around and record something exclusively for the internet. So, I don't know. I'm glad they're doing it. It's nice to get a taste, but you know, I'm always going to hold off judgment until I see the first episode.
Well, and I don't think, I feel like this one, I never did the mini episode thing either, but I think this one for me is good because, like you said, I feel like a little bit like I've been burned before, you know?
Yeah,
and I don't want to fall in love with you again.
Shame on me, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three
times.
Wow,
you've got a lot
I'm
in your past, Danielle.
You.
We can really chill.
And I'm just glad that HRG is coming back.
Oh, dude, he has to.
I love him. I love him. Like, when he does guest roles on other shows, I'm just like, oh my God, I love HRG. Like, he was on Castle. He had a story arc.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
he's just, and everything he does, he's still essentially the same character. He never stops being.
Well,
he's kind of got a Phil Coulson vibe going that I absolutely love.
He does have a Phil Coulson vibe, but he's got more of a Phil Coulson, like, villain vibe going. Like, he's.
That's true.
He's still
That's
Vils.
True.
You know, Vils.
Vils being the
he
verb
Vils
of.
A villain.
Right, right, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so also in the Speaking Geek, They want the, I don't know if you guys saw the link on our website or not. They're doing an Indiegogo to raise money to build a real life Minas Tirith, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
So let me tell you, I don't really know much about Lord of the Rings. I know that makes me a really bad person. I'm actually, after rereading Harry Potter, which is what I'm doing right now, I'm going to finally read the Lord of the Rings books. I was inspired by someone that I met this past week, but either way. What and where and why? And I don't understand.
So the idea here, Minas Tirith is from Lord of the Rings. It is one of the, it's like this incredibly beautiful,
It was the staggered white building that Gandalf and, the hobbits fought the army on, in the, second movie?
I think it was the second
Return of the King. No, it was the third movie.
So is it like
you're right. You're right. So the second movie was.
Is it like a castle
it?
Then?
Yeah, it's a beautiful, ornate. I believe it's elven build. It's elven build.
Yeah.
And it's. I mean, it's just this ridiculously gorgeous. I mean, you can see the pictures.
It is
of
pretty.
Well, and here's the thing: they're trying to raise. They have it in pounds, but it's $2.9 billion.
$2.9 billion. That's billion with a B.
How long? How long do they have? Oh, they've got 43 days left. So they could get it.
Yeah, they're currently
what are they at now?
0% funded.
Well, they've got money. It's just not enough to put a dent to, in
yeah,
it.
80,000 euros.
Well, and it, okay, so this is an interesting thing, though. It's been on there for 17 days. You would think that the diehard Lord of the Rings fans would have come out and said, okay, we're going to support you, and that they would have a lot more than this by now if they're going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, and that's why I think it's really important when you see that first, the very first thing they put on their Indiegogo page, very big, bold letters, if we don't reach our fundraising goal, you will be refunded your money.
Well, I thought that was the whole point of crowdfunding, is that you do get refunded.
Well, some of them, like especially with Indiegogo, they will, even if you don't reach, even if they don't reach the goal, they can still take the money that they make, that they have raised, and go put it towards whatever cause.
Okay.
You know, to try to get them part of the way towards the goal.
Gotcha.
But you know, you don't always have to. It's not typically great. I mean, if you're raising money for a charity and you don't make it all the way, it's still great to give the money that you did get.
Oh,
you know,
like, yeah, sure. But
building Minas Tirith, not
high on my priority list.
I'd want my money back.
I can tell you, even if I read the books and fall in love, and watch the movies and fall in love, I wouldn't donate to
for $3. They'll follow you on Twitter.
No, that's
€3. Sorry.
Yeah, for €3, they'll follow you on Twitter. Yeah, but then who's to say that they don't drop you like a year later?
Well, and who cares if you're following me? Like, you didn't build anything.
Yeah.
That's true. Actually, I do love this one, too. For 100,000 euros, you can be the lordship or ladyship of the city.
I might do that.
That, for 100,000 euros.
If I had 100,000 euros, if I had any euros, I would maybe consider
this. Getting euros isn't hard. You just have to give up your dollars for it.
I was going to say, I'd have to sell my house to be able to afford that.
What is the exchange rate? Like, what would be 100,000 euros?
They're usually going off at 3. Oh, okay, I usually use 3-1 as kind of, but that was from several years ago, so I don't actually know. We'll have,
Dan Rogers.
Dan, Mr. Rogers over here.
Mr. Rogers.
No, thank you. Okay. It's $110,000.
Okay, do a 1-1. I'm curious. We got Dan on as our keyboard jockey. So he's gonna give us our current, most up-to-date. You didn't know there was a finance section to our show.
As of Tuesday, August 18th, it is $1.10 per euro.
Wow, really?
We're tracking really
the
close.
The euro is tanking.
Yeah, well, they let the pigs in.
Okay, we're gonna nope. Anyway, so Minister, if you want to back it, folks, you'll still have the opportunity to.
Can I just picture? Like, I would buy a picture of that and put it in my house because it's pretty. But like, what would be the point of building a real one? Like, so you can go and
you can go stay there. It's gonna be like a hotel resort type deal.
Oh, where?
The UK.
Well. Then I can't stay there. I can't afford.
Well, that's why everything's in euros. I mean, it's not for us.
I can't afford to go to the UK and stay at this place.
If you have the type of money to be able to help build Minas Tirith, you have the type of money to go to the UK.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, I guess here's the thing. I'm willing to bet they didn't put tons of effort into getting the thing up and running. I mean, maybe they did, but I hope not. Because I feel like really it's like, well, let's just see if it'll happen. Yeah, let's see what'll happen. Because it costs nothing to you know, get an Indiegogo account and put something up there.
Right.
And I, you know, I don't think, I'm pretty sure that image is not originally theirs. I don't think so anyway.
This is ridiculous, you guys.
I think it's awesome. I was really happy with it. I'm glad they're doing it. I'm not going to back it, but I'm glad somebody else is doing it. So,
or at least attempting. It's not going to happen.
That's a good call. I just don't see them making it.
It's like all my hope and ambition for Bernie Sanders. Like, I really, really want him to win, but like he's
well,
not
we're doing finance and politics on today's episode.
Yeah, let's not get into politics.
Whoa, I didn't want to go. This is what happens when you let Dan Rogers on your episode, though.
No more.
You have to know that that's going to be the case going in. Last bit. Did you guys watch the teaser for Westworld HBO?
I did not.
Am I the only one who prepared for this episode?
Yes.
I might be.
What is Westworld?
Westworld is this steampunk type show that HBO is putting on.
Okay.
HBO.
I love
steampunk.
It.
Steampunk. I'm sold.
I'm in. Yeah.
And you just kind of have to watch a preview.
Anthony Hopkins and Ed Harris. I'm in for that too.
Absolutely. It is gonna be. It just looks. It looks so exciting. I just did the
Michael Crichton.
The author.
I know it's the author. I was just saying, like, I didn't know he was part of
this. Well, this is all actually, this is all based on the 1973, I think it was. It was a television series. Sorry, it was a film that was called Westworld, and it was written and directed by Michael Crichton.
Huh. I didn't know that.
That is exciting. I've loved so much of his work, too.
I know. Like, I loved, obviously, Jurassic Park series.
Right.
I love Sphere. Like, I know a lot of people don't really like it. The book was a lot better than the movie, but
same thing with Timeline. Timeline was an amazing book.
What's Timeline?
And a crap movie.
See, I'd never even heard of that.
Yeah, I just, and it was classic Crichton too, because, and this is one of the things I love about Crichton is all of his work. I mean, he does so much scientific research in his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like Jurassic World, if you were going to clone a dinosaur, Michael Crichton's method is probably pretty close to how you'd pull it off.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know, like
absolutely.
That's,
yeah. Well, it's actually, this is just, this looks like it's going to be a really cool series. You know, it's got Anthony Hopkins in it. It's got a lot of like really big name stars.
Oh, dude.
And I mean, it's, and it's HBO, who hasn't really had a big miss yet, in the past, you know, the past 5 years.
Ever.
So, well, we can argue about other sub-series.
The
but
last 5 years is really all that matters in my mind anyway.
Okay, there you go. You live 5 years at a time. That's good.
Television. No, but I mean, if it's like Al said earlier, steampunk, I'm in. HBO, yeah. I'm in. Michael Crichton, I am so
well,
in.
And I mean, if you haven't seen that that film, the original Westworld, you really just go back and give it a watch.
But
it's it's a really good film.
I'm not going to either. It's fine.
Okay. All right, well.
All right. We need to go ahead and go to break. We will be back here in just a few moments. You are listening to For Geek's Sake here on Al's Radio. It's not really Al's Radio Network. Just hit play.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, because you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al. I'm in the studio today with Mr. Dan Rogers.
Hola.
And Miss Danielle. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good, good. Everybody still good after that 30-second break? Great.
Yeah.
Let's get into the D23 Expo.
So,
here's what happened. You know, we know that, okay, a little background information, let's put it that way. We know that Marvel was bought by Disney. We know that We know the Lucasfilm was also bought by Disney.
Wait, what?
So Disney now owns, as a matter of fact, I don't know.
Disney now owns everything.
No, everything cool from your childhood.
Yes.
Right.
Essentially.
Right.
Did you watch the, I know Dan, you're a big fan of Epic Rap Battles of History.
Yes.
What did you think of Stan Lee versus Jim Henson?
You were going to have such a huge spoiler if I talk about it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what makes that battle so good.
Epic Rap Battles of History. Check it out. ERB. If you just YouTube ERB, it'll be up there. Check out Stan Lee versus Jim Henson. It's phenomenal. Because, by the way, Disney also owns
Jim Henson's
legacy. The Muppets, all of it.
Everything good from your childhood, Disney now owns.
And I know we've already, I think we've discussed this once before on the show, but can I just tell you how freaking excited I am for the Muppet TV show?
It's going to be epic. That will
bring it back. Like, come on.
At D23, they actually had the Muppets there singing some of like the current contemporary like pop songs and stuff.
Awesome. Awesome.
I cannot wait for that show.
I'm going to be very honest with you guys. We're going to be dedicating a good chunk of an episode when that premieres. So
just
go ahead,
gosh,
and just make your peace with it.
Yes.
Dr. Teeth, just up for the win, dude.
We'll put Muppet somewhere in the title, so if you don't like it, you can skip it.
That's true.
Or maybe we won't, and then you have to listen.
Boom.
Because
then what would you do? What could you possibly do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing.
When you start
listening. Right.
Yeah. You have to.
Well, so the 2015 Expo.
So 2015 Expo. Okay, so the reason, that, and I tell you that because it's important to understand this, that Comic-Con, which is normally the big reveal spot, and we talked about this on the Comic-Con episode, is
so light for Marvel stuff.
Exactly. For MCU.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics still had a bunch of their stuff happening. That was all very their full rollout for the comic books was still happening there, just like it always does. But everything MCU was almost non-existent. I think a couple of the guys from Guardians of the Galaxy were hanging out. Like,
yeah.
Because they were waiting for D23.
Exactly. Because now that Disney owns.
Ready?
So much geek cred.
Yeah, I can actually run down just the crazy stuff that's applicable to us. I'm just going to read straight from the Wikipedia page. They presented footage from Captain America: Civil War, stills from Doctor Strange. Lucasfilm presented Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and they also showcased Alice Through the Looking Glass, and then a bunch of like, you know, Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast, that kind of stuff.
Whoa! Back up.
Yeah.
Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
What are they doing with that?
Alice in the Looking Glass actually is going to be a really cool new film that they're coming out with.
I'm pretty excited about this. Yeah,
it's going to be in May of 2016, and I think it's. Hold on, let me just check this. James Bobin is going to direct it, and it's written by Tim Burton's going to produce it again.
Because this is the sequel to the previous movie.
So it's
going to
be in the same vein as the last Alice or Wonderland.
Yeah, the 2010 Alice in Wonderland.
And the idea here is that Through the Looking Glass, what they're actually doing is they're apparently the mirror allows Alice to see the characters at different points in their timeline. So there's a little bit of a time travel thing, so you can jump back and see.
It's like Doctor Who. A bit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it. Okay. So what was after that? Jungle Book. They're doing something with Jungle Book and Beauty and the Beast.
They're doing a live action Jungle Book.
Yep.
And that's kind of weird.
Yeah. It could work. I mean, their casting for it is. I was looking for
how
the cast
do you
list.
How do you cast an animal movie as live action?
Well, it's CG.
Well, and I mean,
it's gonna
I
be why
are we going straight when we're not talking about Beauty and the Beast?
We have.
I'm sorry, because Beauty and the Beast is going to be the big one. Like, that's crazy.
So they're doing like what they did with Cinderella with Beauty and the Beast.
I didn't see that one.
Well, I didn't see it either, but like I saw the trailers. It was basically like taking it and turning it into this epic modern story.
Probably.
So they're probably going to do something with.
I think it's all just trying to tie it all into to the ABC show. Whatever that one that they steal everything.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time. I hate that.
Okay,
anyway, yeah, back to the nerd
back
stuff.
Back to the geek stuff here, because that's what we're talking about.
Well, we are talking about Disney. I want to talk about Disney, okay?
Well, this is Disney, which is the whole thing.
And the last thing was Disney Interactive talked about Star Wars Battlefront and Disney Infinity 3.0.
Oh, my goodness.
I saw...
Oh, and Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
And Kingdom Hearts 3.
No. They're bringing the Kingdom Hearts characters into Disney Infinity.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the Infinity World, which is crazy.
Okay, there's a lot.
There's just so much to unpack there,
right? So we're gonna focus here on a little bit of the we're focused mainly on the Marvel MCU and the Star Wars stuff that's going on, because what's not on that list is that came out from
I was saving that till afterwards.
The Rogue One. Star Wars Rogue One. So, okay, this is...
What is that?
We're going to talk about this one for a minute. So here's the idea. Rogue One is from the Star Wars Expanded Universe. So, and I remember from our Star Wars conversations, everything other than the six movies, the two cartoon series, and whatever else, all
canon.
Of that got gone.
Not, it's retconned.
It was retconned out of existence. Nicely done. I'm proud of you.
He taught me that in a non-podcast related phone call, and I'm using it now.
Retroactive continuity. It's when you it's when basically we go, that stuff didn't happen, and usually with a very thinly veiled excuse. So Rogue One was from the Expanded Universe, and they have said, look, we could use whatever we want from there, and they are. So this is a squadron of X-wing pilots.
Is this like a TV show?
No, it'll be a movie.
They're making another movie.
Yeah, well, they're making now. That'll be four movies that I'm aware of off the top. And so the idea here is that these guys, this happens before between episodes 3 and 4. Okay.
Okay.
So episode 3 is the last of the original trilogy. The new trilogy.
The new trilogy.
Episode 4
is
New
the
Hope.
First of the
right.
Very, very first Star Wars film.
Exactly.
Right.
So what this is a group. So this is before the Rebel Alliance is even a thing. There's this group of fighter pilots essentially flying these X-wings, which are the ships that are shaped like X's. It's the ones that Luke Skywalker flies.
Which ones?
Well, I mean, these.
They're the ones that when they're going through the Death Star,
Exactly.
Yeah, like the original Star Wars ride at Disney, that's what you are in.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea here is that this group of X-Wing pilots goes into the Empire, gets into the Empire stuff and steals the plans for the Death Star to take out and get back to the... Because remember, the whole reason they got to take down the Death Star was because they had the schematics that showed them where to fire that one little... Where the little exhaust port that nobody put a cover on.
There's one flaw in the entire Death Star.
Right. Oops.
Right.
If somebody just put down a plate on top of that thing, everything would have been fine for them, but whatever. So this is that story.
Okay.
So you basically got a bunch of fighter pilots going against impossible odds, and this thing looks gritty. This thing looks dark. This thing looks rough. And
so
Forrest Whitaker is cast in it.
Not the typical Star Wars feel.
Well, I mean, yeah, Star Wars has always been a little gritty, but this one looks a little bit. I mean, this one goes like another step farther. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right, right.
There's not a whole lot coming out, but the cast photos they're showing and whatever. Forrest Whitaker is in this.
That's awesome.
Which again adds a little bit of gravitas to it. You know what I mean?
And I love
Forrest
Whitaker.
Is in it. Who is?
Oh, hello. You love him.
Oh, I do love me some Alan Tudyk. So,
Wash.
I'm really. Oh.
My only problem with it is the still that they released for it. There's no Bothans in the picture.
What's a Bothan?
Princess Leia when she announced the plans that they got from the Empire to destroy the Death Star through the exhaust port, said that many Bothans died to get us this information.
Bothans are a race in Star Wars.
They look like that.
Oh.
It's a furry man.
That's cute.
Yeah, but both
are... Not as cute as an Ewok, but...
No, they're known as information traders. They deal in, you know, spying and all that
kind
of stuff.
So then, if they're considering Rogue to be part of the new canon, then shouldn't they have Bothans in it?
Yeah, Bothans will be there.
I'm just saying, if they don't, like, I know it's a throwaway line in the original
movie,
but
it's in there.
Still, it's in the movie,
and it's often quoted. It's actually a very, very popular line.
And I mean, if a throwaway line affected Doctor Who, where they had to explain how many lives he had, then they've got to make sure this is continuous.
That's true.
Yeah. Wait,
not related to Star Wars, but there was a throwaway line
in the 1970s version of Doctor Who, saying that the Doctor only has 13 lives, and he only has 13 regenerations, and so they had to explain that away in the new season because everyone had a big sticking point because they were counting and they were like, oh, he's at 13. Oh, God.
I was one of them, actually. I was absolutely. I'm
sure. So, and Peter Capaldi is the 13th, right?
You know what? No.
Okay.
No.
All right, we'll go there later.
No, we're not going to go down that road.
Okay.
Okay,
we are going to do an entire episode on Doctor Who. Okay.
We are, but we're going to wait till we get Mr. Steve Case in here to do that.
There you go.
I'm very excited. Anyway, so Rogue One, that one looks absolutely awesome.
Okay, looks cool.
The stuff coming out for Episode 7 obviously continues to look amazing and terribly exciting.
Yes.
And then we've also got on the Marvel Cinematic Universe side, we have your man, your great love,
your boy,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Absolutely. Cast as Doctor.
He's actually my soulmate because we have the same birthday.
I think that's
exactly how that works.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Of course.
So he's Doctor Strange.
Sorry, Chris.
Hey, you know what? Listen.
He knows. If Jason Momoa, I get a card, and with Benedict Cumberbatch, I can leave him. So that's, like, Benedict Cumberbatch is for marriage, and Jason Momoa is for everything else. So
I don't know if you, I may have found some problems in your marriage as well, but we'll get to that stuff later. Don't worry about that. You didn't hear anything.
I heard something.
Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
He was not able to be present for D23, but he did a little video thing. It's looking really good. And they've kind of outlined the premise. Doctor Strange is an incredibly popular, incredibly talented neurosurgeon whose hands get completely jacked up. And he goes searching for a way to heal his hands because, you know, surgeon kind of needs those things.
Okay, so let me tell you guys something. Like, I've never really felt like Benedict Cumberbatch is, like, the most good-looking man in the world. Like, in Sherlock, he's, like, kind of nutty-looking. And, he just always has, like, this kind of almost alien look to him, but in those pictures of him as Doctor Strange, he looks beautiful. Well, the facial hair is perfect. He should always have facial hair.
He's got a really good look for it. I mean, if you go back to the comics and you look at Doctor Strange, this is absolutely. I mean, this the look is perfect.
Yes, and the actor is he's got the.
Oh, he's gonna perfect. Nail it. Honestly, like every iteration I've seen so far, I look at him now and I'm
everything.
Like
everything. I mean, everything I've ever seen him in, he is flawless.
No, he is.
And he's not like...
Do we have a disagreement here?
I mean, the original Khan was way better.
Okay, that wasn't his fault.
Khan?
I'm just saying, the original Khan wiped the floor with Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't know anything about the original Star Trek stuff because I thought it looked stupid and cheesy. I've watched
Hold
the
me
movies.
Back. Hold me back.
And I loved Benedict Cumberbatch. But let me just tell you, like, what I think is interesting about him is, like, a lot of actors, you know, they bring something special to the role because they bring themselves. Like, they tend to play the character a similar way, but they always get really good roles for that. Benedict Cumberbatch has played so many different roles and so many different ways.
I kind of feel like he goes with smug intellectual.
Yep.
No.
Well, okay, Khan was a smug intellectual.
Well, not smug intellectual. I mean, he's a really smart guy, and he applies himself in some way, either physically, mentally, or whatever, to overcome some sort of obstacle.
Well, that's not...
That's literally... Every part he's done.
That's the writing. That's the
Well, you say he's got this huge range as an actor.
No, but if you watch The Imitation Game, he doesn't play it very smug at all.
No, but I'm saying he's a really intelligent person that overcomes some sort of adversity using his mind.
Every single movie and TV show has a character like
all
that.
Right,
yeah,
right,
he
right.
plays that character.
All right. I'm putting a pin in this. Now Dan's just trying to get your goat. And you have given him your goat. He has it now. It's banging.
It's so great. I love this goat.
He's got a little bell on him and a little...
Can we talk about the most important thing, though?
No. Instead, we're going to talk about Civil War. Which is the second most important thing.
All right.
The Anthony Mackie, who plays the Falcon, and Chris Evans, who plays Captain America.
Wait, what?
So good.
Anthony Mackie, who
she's joking with you.
Can we go back over it again? Are you good?
I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
So the two of them.
One of the Chris's.
Right. One of the Chris's. Right. Disney's got four of them. And they so they actually flew. They were finishing up recording. Filming Civil War in Germany. They flew them in straight to the stage at D23 in Anaheim. Or Burbank, wherever it is, over in California, and they showed up. They piled around. They talked about how awesome it was, and everything looks just the Civil War is looking like Avengers 3. It's
that was the thing. Like everyone's looking forward to Avengers this year, and Civil War is going to completely trounce it.
Yeah.
So is Civil War, because I'm not super familiar with the Civil War comic series. Is it supposed to be like just Captain America's story, or is everyone in it? Yeah, like
everyone's
the
involved. But it's him and Iron Man are the protagonists in the comics,
and
just like they are in.
Are fighting because that's what they set up in the second Avengers movie was that they're having tension.
Yeah.
Right, and that's
probably
exactly
sexual tension.
Maybe. I mean, they're both beautiful men.
They
so
are
I wouldn't...
beautiful men.
The but yeah, so the but yeah, so they're lining everything up here, and you're starting to see the if you're following it, you're starting to see that where the lines are going to be. You're seeing a lot of these. Well, I'm curious about though is whether or not Spider-Man shows up.
Well, yeah, what about
they will? They'll put him in there somehow.
What about the Hulk? Because last time we saw him, he was leaving.
I think we saw. I don't think he's officially on the cast list. I wouldn't be shocked. I've heard lots of rumors that Hulk is going to show up. He's not officially in.
Okay.
General Thunderbolt Ross, who was in the Hulk story and a solo Hulk storyline in the movies, he's the general who's chasing the Hulk and trying to stop the Hulk and all that stuff. So he's the bad guy essentially from the Hulk will be in this one. And I can kind of it'll be really interesting because Spider-Man played he's a pivotal character in
absolutely
the comic books. But I don't think they're gonna. I think they're gonna have to.
Well, here's the thing. Like they were given the rights towards the end of the. Towards the beginning of the filming of this. So at the very least, they'll write him in some facet to have him have a role in it because they've got this awesome property at their disposal again. But I don't think they're gonna be able to rewrite the entire script once filming started. You know.
Well, but because here's the thing, Spider-Man's getting his own new movie again, right?
Right.
And who did they cast for it?
What's the kid's name? Some no-name kid.
He's not some no-names.
Okay. Yeah. To me, he was a no-name kid.
But, like, is he going to be in Civil War? That's what...
I think he's going to pop up. I think you're going to see him as some minor character.
Okay, so is Civil War coming out before the new Spider-Man?
Yes.
Okay, so they would be...
They started filming the new
Spider-Man.
So
then they would be introducing him as the new Spider-Man in Civil War. So then here's the question. Can they continue to reboot Spider-Man every... decade the way they have been.
I don't even think we've been decades, but yeah.
If they're putting him in an epic movie scope.
What they're doing with this one, when Marvel and Fox got together and said that we're going to do this, they recast Spider-Man specifically because they wanted to make sure that this was going to be a character that would last for a while, and they put a very young guy in there. I mean, this kid is only how old is he?
What's his name?
It's Asa Butterfield.
Asa
Butterfield, something like that.
ASA.
I want to say Asa Butterfield.
By the way, it was Sony, not Fox.
Was it what?
Sony, not Fox, that had Spider-Man.
Sorry, that's what I meant. This kid's like 17 years old, something like that. And so he's just getting involved in the franchise. Plus, it makes him really young, you know, and you want a young Spider-Man. Like, that's what makes him so appealing.
And they're going to skip the origin story.
And you need to. So
Which
they're
going
to throw him in the middle of it. They're
so
going to make him part of this stuff.
Story.
And they're going to give him his own legs to stand on. It's going to be really good.
Okay.
Well, I'm excited about that then.
I am too. We need to get to a break. We're running a little over here. When we come back, we are going to talk a little. We're going to let Danielle finally start to let loose on Harry Potter. She's been wanting to do it for quite a while. So make sure that you don't go anywhere. You are listening to For Geek's Sake.
Thank you.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to For Geek's Sake. I'm here with Dan and Danielle. Here we go.
All right.
So let's have us. Let's go ahead and start a fight.
Yay!
Let's.
It might not be a fight.
It might not be a. It'll be a lively debate. So we've got one of the things that we did not discuss, was probably the biggest news that came out of the D23 Expo, is the announcement that they are at both parks unveiling Star Wars Land. Both locations are unveiling 14 acres worth of Star Wars that is going to cover everything you could possibly imagine.
So is this going to be like a separate park, or are they putting this in an existing park?
I know for Orlando, they're putting it in Hollywood Studios.
Okay, that makes sense.
MGM or whatever. Because, yeah. Because, dear God, you need something over there. There's just like...
No, they've got plenty of stuff. I love Hollywood
Test Track.
Studios.
I love Test Track.
You would, that's
they've got lots of awesome
things. Okay, but here's the
there.
Deal. If you're showing up for Disney and you're going to go to one park...
Yeah, no, and I mean, to put it there is actually, it's the most strategic thing they could do for that park because it's the least draw. Everything else has a huge draw.
Right.
The Hollywood Studios has, like, it's basically, with Universal Studios down the street, it's not as big of a draw as any other park.
I would go to Hollywood Studios 10 times before I go to Animal Kingdom.
Okay, well.
Oh, you're crazy! You are crazy!
Well, I go on those safaris.
We're gonna have a fight before the fight.
Every single time, you know, you can only see the same freaking Komodo dragon. So many times.
Here's the thing. I'm going to put it out to you right now. Epcot was in last place before they're like, booze.
No.
We have
Epcot
all of the booze.
Epcot is my first.
Yeah. Epcot's really good.
Epcot's the first.
Right.
I like Magic Kingdom. I've got a daughter now. I can't wait to show her
Magic Kingdom too.
It's so
but
great.
But I like Magic Kingdom better now that they've done all the work with the new Fantasyland.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing too, is Hollywood Studios needs to update.
Have you ever been to Disney before, by the way?
Me?
Yeah. Probably a few times.
Yeah, a couple. I have annual passes. Well, we didn't have them. We did have them, then we didn't have them. Now we have them again. Yeah,
but you're probably part of the
D23
fan club, right?
I wish I was part of the D23
you
fan
club. You will be now.
I am.
Yeah.
As soon as I leave here, I'm going to email them.
So,
and be like, put me on your list.
So if you, the thing, so back to the Star Wars thing briefly. If we could just for a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, the main topic.
All right, fine.
The 14 acres worth of Star Wars at both parks. And I get how they're going to do that on in Orlando, because I've been, you know, Disney World, obviously our backyard. I've driven. I get lost every time I go to, like,
they own so much land.
They
here.
Own
it's ridiculous.
All of the land.
Because they're the best.
They own all of it.
All of the land. They just all of it. And so but Anaheim, from what I understand, is like
very cramped.
Yeah, I don't know where they're going to find 14 acres.
They're probably going to have to repurpose.
Look at a map.
Current.
They've just got, like, honestly, they've got huge swaths of land sitting right next to it that is just used for parking for a lot of their, like, bigger trucks and service stuff. They'll just build a new road, put a new thing down, and be like, all right, workers, drive over there from now on.
Or actually, you're Disney, so you just walk into whatever's next to you and be like, hey, guess what? It's time.
Nice yeah. neighborhood you thought you were going to live in.
Like, here's a very large check. Now go away. And you know what? I would love for that.
Well,
day
I mean, that's what, they
I
did
love
to,
that.
That's what they did to the MCU. That's what they did for Jim Henson.
That is actually, you're right there. So anyway, so you'll be able to go drink at the Mos Eisley Cantina. You'll be able to fly the Millennium Falcon.
So
you'll be
good.
Able to... I mean, like, all of the characters that are going to... all of the workers, essentially, will be Star Wars characters, so you can go meet a Bothan.
Oh,
probably not kill him, I'm assuming.
If they're going to get me some good information, they might have to.
Are they going to have cute little Ewoks? Because I love Ewoks.
Of course they're going to have little Ewoks.
Yeah, they're
going
to dress children up in tiny little costumes and make them dance for your pleasure.
Ooh. Okay, I'm in.
It's a small world, after all.
Oh my gosh, this got really weird.
The Gungans, I'm assuming, are also going to be making an appearance, which makes me a little sad.
Yep.
Actually, you know what? I take that back. So Jar Jar Binks, that was his race is called Gungans.
Okay.
However, in watching especially the Clone Wars cartoon series, Gungans don't bother me.
Yeah.
Gungans are actually a pretty cool race.
And they all hate him.
Right.
Like, that's the
everybody. Oh, he's like the reject of the race. He's like the village idiot.
Exactly.
Beyond the village. And that's one of the things that drives me so nuts, too, because somehow he's like the ambassador. And I'm like, you guys couldn't. This guy gets people killed. There was a very major, like, diplomat in this cartoon series that Jar Jar Binks was told, do not do this, and he does it anyway. And a major, like, political figure dies as a direct result of what he does. And they're like, oh, Jar Jar. And I'm like, what are you doing? Put him in jail.
Well, just
you
like
put him in. You execute him
yeah.
right there on the spot.
Maybe he has like mental issues and is not all there.
He's
and...
the only one that talks like that in his species that we found. So that's very possible.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, there's okay, you know what, man?
Yep.
Anyway, point is
I'm just saying like maybe he belongs in a mental hospital and not jail.
He's responsible for the death of a lot of people.
Anyway.
Anyways.
So,
get into Jar Jar Binks.
The point here is, so 14 Acres, humongous Star Wars thing, and we've already discussed, you know, they've got episode 7, 8, and 9. They've got directors for all three of these coming out. That's all set. Rogue One is set to come out, which I think the hardcore Star Wars nerds that I know are infinitely more excited about Rogue One than episode 7. Now that I should that tells me something about where Rogue One is sitting. I mean, I
disagree on a fundamental level, but that's because.
But would you call yourself a hardcore Star Wars? I mean, I wouldn't call you hardcore. I mean, you're definitely a Star Wars. I'm also a hardcore a Star Wars fan. I wouldn't know if I would call myself hardcore.
No,
you know, like
yeah. I'll give it to you. But I mean, when I look at those two sitting side by side, I want to see that movie way before anything else.
Yeah. So here's my question, and here's where we're going to swing back around to Harry Potter. So Universal unveiled The Wizarding World of Harry Potter in what, for literally anyone who has seen anything Harry Potter, has been impressed with. They did, as far as I can tell, they did almost nothing wrong in either one of those.
It's incredible.
So now
they did do something wrong.
What was that?
When they added in Diagon Alley and had the wand shop, Ollivander's, they didn't take it away from Hogsmeade. And it pisses me off.
Was it? I didn't think it was Ollivander's.
No, it's not Ollivander's.
It's another wand shop.
No, it's Ollivander's. They're both Ollivander's. And when you ask the cast members about it, they say, oh, well, after book 7, Ollivander expanded and opened a shop in Hogsmeade.
The worst.
Awful!
Okay, so aside from that, I mean, let me tell you what, that is the best she can come up with as far as problems are concerned.
Yeah, no, if
which
that's
tells
the
you,
best, then obviously.
So, and he's got a franchise, all right? He's just becoming a mogul.
So the idea here, though, is that you've got Harry Potter going on at Universal Studios Islands Adventure, which is where it started, and then they've expanded out and put something at the Universal Orlando Resort, which is the other Universal
Studios,
park.
Studios, not Resort.
Studios, I apologize. And then they have the train that runs specifically back and forth between the two parks.
Which is incredible.
It's a really cool train ride. Like, it's not just like
you
a
have to
mover.
Ride it both
it's
ways.
It's a ride
in itself. And you have to ride it both ways because going one way is one story and going another way is a completely different ride. It's
okay. So, with those
as the mentors,
with that information, here's what I want to know. Harry Potter's done. There's talk of other things that they're doing. I know that they're talking about some other movies, but there's nothing that has gotten. There's no Harry Potter 8 coming out.
Right.
Okay. So here's what I want to know: is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter going to be able to survive coming up against Star Wars? And the reason I asked that question is this. When the Wizarding World of Harry Potter dropped and then expanded, it smacked Disney right in the damn face. Like, that was a serious blow. And Disney got put on notice, which is why you saw Fantasyland expanding, and all these other kind of... Disney has been, especially in the Orlando market, Disney has been reacting to Universal's actions, which is not something they're used to.
From innovator to imitator.
So here's my...
Absolutely, actually. I'm going to pause real quick. Absolutely.
So here's my take on that. So I think that them doing this much Star Wars at Disney is dangerous for Universal. You are going to always have diehard Harry Potter fans, but Disney is now tapping into a very similar audience because it's the same. Most of them are going to be your same audience. And Disney does everything
better.
Incredible.
Well, and they do everything better. That's
every square inch, like, this is what I love about Disney. My mom made this comment like forever ago. When you're on a Disney ride, if there is an inch of space that you can see, it is in theme.
Yeah.
If they don't want you to see an inch of space, they turn your car so you don't see that inch of space. Yeah. There is nothing that is not themed. Well, and it's incredible what they do when they set their minds to it. I mean, just the fact that they switch over to Christmas literally overnight and use like 50 million people to do it. I mean, Disney does everything better.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you come down to the Disney experience, whenever you're in a land, whenever you're in a specific part of the park, when you look up or when you look over, it is everything, just like you're saying.
Everything's
is in
perfect.
Theme. And that's what everyone noticed about the Wizarding World and about the Diagon Alley. they, when you are in these places, it is very Disney-like. When you look up, you see nothing but Harry Potter.
Yep.
And they did a very good job with the execution.
Did.
But here's the thing. That is an excellent part of their park. The other 75% of it is not like that.
But they're... But they are updating a lot of stuff right now.
And it's good because they're taking this cash and they're rolling with it, which I love.
They could end up becoming good competitors because they've got the Nintendo stuff coming in. And who knows what they're going to do. But I'm saying they're going to do this Star Wars so well that I don't think Disney has anything to worry about.
So no, so I want to talk here for, I'm not really concerned about Disney versus Universal in mass. I'm talking, but specifically, can Harry Potter survive against Star Wars?
Yes, because they've got a built-in audience that's going to last for a long time. But
yes, because he has a wand and magic.
Well, they've got lightsabers and the Force.
So here's
killed Voldemort.
Yeah, he didn't kill Vader.
I'm sorry. All I have to do is force choke you and knock the wand out of your hand.
Darth Vader is not as vil as.
He's gonna fight.
Anyway, no. Here's the thing.
No. You're right,
when it comes down to it, Star Wars has a much bigger audience and will be very successful. It will not. While it might detract away from some of the reasons that you want to go to the Harry Potter Wizarding World. If I had to pick between the two, yes. But unfortunately, that's a false argument because I don't have to pick between the two. I can have a Disney pass and I have a Universal pass and I can go to them on opposite days. And that's the thing. I mean, there's, so your question is, well, I understand the theme of it. It's a non-starter because they're both going to be able to survive. No problem. It's a bigger market for both of them.
Oh, absolutely.
I think for a long time, Universal was struggling to keep up with Disney.
Yes.
When they got the contract with Harry Potter, they set themselves apart, and now they're getting bigger and better contracts. Nintendo, especially since they're probably losing Marvel very soon.
No.
I think they'll be – well, I think –
they keep on renewing stuff. They're going to keep it.
Here's the thing. I think there's going to come a point there where Universal is going to benefit from cutting Marvel loose.
Yes.
I think that they can keep the Marvel stuff at Universal. They can keep that in perpetuity. They can have that there forever. And they can lock down and limit Disney's ability to do squat with it. And while they probably should for the foreseeable future. But once they get Nintendo going, because the thing is, they're also kind of getting dated with that. You know, like a lot of, and that's really the problem with a lot of.
With the refresh? They refreshed a lot of the Marvel stuff. I mean, all the characters have been, got new, pretty much they've got knockoff versions of the Marvel, cinematic universe,
I mean,
and stuff.
I just mean the overall look and feel of it is a little.
Honestly, and I know I'm gonna get booed at this as well, but I think Nintendo will be a bigger draw than Marvel.
Boo. Actually, I'm not.
Depending on how they do it. Because like, for me, okay, I get vertigo, so I can't go on a lot of roller coasters, right? So I don't really go on Hulk. I can't go on Spider-Man. That thing makes me nauseous as crap. No, I don't like the Doctor Doom. So like most of the rides in the Marvel area are not for me, which is fine. But if they do some really cool Nintendo stuff, I would definitely go to the Nintendo stuff.
I think Nintendo is going to be a huge...
It's going to be huge.
I think Nintendo is going to be a huge, huge draw.
But it's kind of like Disney. It's our childhood they're implementing right now.
Here's the thing, though. They're also, along with this announcement and everything, they're going to have... Disney's not only going to do the Star Wars stuff, they're also going to have a huge Toy Story Land.
Well, I mean, Toy Story Land will be big. I mean, here's the thing.
Toy Story is like, again, childhood, the whole thing. I mean, Toy Story is going to be such a better...
But here's what I'm saying. If we're talking like there's Nintendo, there's Star Wars, there's Harry Potter, Toy World does not keep up with those three.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
These are the three best Pixar films of all time so far.
That they might be, but they're still not on the same level.
Oh my, you cannot say
that. Oh, come on. Nintendo has been around since 1981, has influenced 1,000 different levels of culture. You know what I mean?
Besides the Xfinity stuff, which is just ripping off of Disney's Disney's existing property.
Well, everything on Wii U is incredible.
I love
Wii U because it brought back
unless,
Dr.
of course,
Mario.
They're going to put in large screens and let me play a Nintendo. That's all I'm like, okay.
You don't care about the games of your childhood?
Link, yeah, like Metroid, Mega Man, Mario, Donkey Kong, none of those are
going to
hold it.
It's all really cool stuff, but unless they're going to have like... I don't know. Unless they're gonna have like put up a screen and let me play it, I don't see it.
But what do you see? I mean, what is gonna be the huge draw to Toy Story Land?
I get to walk around with Buzz and.
Okay, so Buzz versus Mario.
Oh, Buzz! Buzz wins, like hands down. Did you see our adaptation of Mario that we had on a screen? Like, is that what we're gonna do with that? You're gonna make a I guess I'm
just confused as
I'm
to
I'm really confused at Dan.
I would not have guessed Buzz versus Mario that you land on.
Yeah. Buzz is amazing.
I'm not saying that Buzz isn't amazing, but Buzz versus Mario? Like if
Buzz
you had to pick
Buzz has been around Buzz for like a decade. Mario's been around our entire lives.
Yeah, and older is always better is what I'm pretty sure everyone's always said.
Well, just the class. I mean he's a classic,
yeah.
I mean I'm not
clear. Grandma, Grandpa. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your
I mean listen, I am a big proponent of loving whatever geek you love. You know what I mean? Do whatever. If Danielle wants to believe that Voldemort is a bigger villain than Darth Vader, she's entitled to that opinion. I respect her ability to make the wrong choice. I'm just a little surprised that you personally would have landed on Toy Story over Nintendo. Like That part kind of surprises me.
Toy Story only has like a small universe to work with, whereas Nintendo is like a billion universes in one.
Well, actually, you know, let me ask you this though. Okay, so you're taking Toy Story over Nintendo. Okay, are you taking Toy Story over like Harry Potter?
No, but that's why we got Star Wars. Okay. Star Wars is competing with Harry Potter, and then Toy Story is going to compete with whatever Nintendo, whatever.
Okay.
All right, in that respect, I guess I can understand.
I mean, they're going to keep slugging it out, and really, we win.
They're all going to get better, and it's going to force us whatever. My only problem is Universal got all uppity since they got the Harry Potter world. If you wanted a ticket this summer to go to one park for one day, it used to be like $75, $85, something like that, and now it's $110, which is the same amount that you have to do for Disney for one park one day. And that's like, so you're telling me that now you're going to tell me that Universal at all is just as good as any Disney park. And I'm sorry, real quick, Universal. No, it's not. I don't care how good the Harry Potter world is. That's again, 15% of your park. You got every other thing that I don't want to ride because it's not as good as the Disney one.
I personally, if I'm picking between Disney and Universal, I'm picking Universal. Because
even if they've got the new Star Wars stuff.
Oh, I have to go see the new Star Wars stuff. But I mean, but right now, as the two parks exist side by side.
Right now.
I mean, for me, I just would rather go to Universal. I think the experience of going there is easier. I think I enjoy a lot of the rides. The lines tend to be a little bit shorter. Just the parking and getting into the park experience is huge.
Yeah. See, Chris and I get Tables in Wonderland, which you pay for like $100 for the year and you get discounts on all the most of the sit down restaurants. But included in that is free valet at all the hotels.
Yeah.
So we just valet at a hotel and then walk over.
I don't think you should judge a park by its barrier to entry.
I'm just saying, it's part of it. There's
yeah,
also
if that were the case, then we should resurrect Wet n Wild because that was the easiest one to get into.
Oh, yeah, you parked across the street and walked in.
Well, but for me, the other part is I feel like Universal is a lot more for me as an adult, like a lot more the stuff that goes on was just more. Anyway, we are so over. We need to go to
all right, break time.
Here. So I want to thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with our B-roll. You are listening to For Geek's Sake. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. All right, so that was a lively debate.
Wait, you have to say, welcome back to For Geek's Sake.
Oh, welcome back to For Geek's Sake.
Brought to you by that guy.
That guy.
Oh, you guys did what I do, but in harmony, it's
I know, that
it
was...
It wasn't very good harmony, though.
It wasn't.
I picked my note, and he didn't follow.
That is Al's fault.
Okay,
he's
yeah, but
fired.
I'm going to submit to you... I'm gonna submit you right now. You don't want me trying to follow you. Like I can barely get one. Anyway.
I just
want
to say we're brought to you by that guy because that guy's awesome sauce.
So We okay, so we're gonna try to shorten up this a little bit here because our segments ran a little long. But I want to talk very briefly about this story that we posted. It's a little close to home for us. Speaking of Nintendo, as a matter of fact,
this guy
who works for one of Nintendo's more secretive organizations or sort of secretive like developer or whatever else, he went on a podcast and talked with him, and then when that episode came out and they found out that he was on it, Nintendo fired him.
So did he reveal secret information?
He did not.
So then why would they fire
him? He was critical over parts of the organization. Here's the main crux of it, though, comes down to this. Nintendo has a very, very, very strict policy. You do not do what he did. You don't do podcasts. You don't do interviews. You don't talk about, you don't, it's like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. And so he violated that. And so he got canned, period. I think he got canned. As I'm reading the story, I've been kind of researching and looking into it a little bit. It looks like partly he got let go because the episode got really popular. The episode got really popular because Nintendo never does this. You can't get somebody in Nintendo to come sit down and talk with you.
But he didn't talk about anything that was going on.
Doesn't matter. I think Nintendo, we had to draw a hard line. So
wow.
as
sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, exactly. Make an example. Make sure nobody else thinks that, well, as long as they don't talk about anything major, then I should be good. And now you've kind
of. Then they've got to police every single appearance that any of your employees make. So exactly. That always is trying to, you know, draw a crazy line.
I think that's stupid.
I feel kind of bad for the guy because, I mean, it was an honest. You read his apology, and it's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. The guy wanted to work at Nintendo and he wanted to stay there, but unfortunately, when it came down to it, you know, he violated the law.
I'll hire him.
But I guess that was where I was kind of curious, because, you know, one of the things that I was trying to, one of the guests I've been trying to book is somebody over at EA.
Yeah.
We have an EA game, or EA, I guess, studio.
In Maitland,
like right here, right around the corner. I've had a couple friends that worked for EA at different points here too.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to get one of them on here. However, I'm not thrilled with EA games. And so my questions were going to be, let's say, challenging. And I kind of had a feeling that it was going to be a little difficult.
Like, why do you guys focus on Madden every single year? No one cares about football anymore?
Actually, because...
So for all those people that go to football games, they care about football.
And buy
the new game. Not just Madden.
Dang it.
We do the same thing. They do the same thing with golf, basketball, college football.
Just don't even get me started.
Like, all of these. And EA has, like, exclusive rights on just about all of them. But EA does a lot of really crappy stuff. And I really would like to talk to somebody who worked at EA about that. And I had a feeling that was going to be kind of hard. And then I read this, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, not
going to
happen.
No, I don't think they're going to. So you think they were right to fire him, Dan?
Absolutely. It's their prerogative to do to have a tight-lipped policy, and I mean, you know, it's the same thing with Apple. You know, you don't catch too many interviews with Apple employees outside of you know, the upper echelon, and that's because they can make sure that they keep their tight-lipped whatever. And it's, you know, if that's their company culture and that's the way they want to run their business, that's the way they want to run their business. And I think that when it comes down to it, if they want to have this policy where no one can speak about anything, and then someone violates that policy, then you know what, there's the door. And, you know, I highly doubt. I mean, we've got one person here that already wants to offer him a job. I highly doubt it's going to have a problem getting another one.
I'm sure he'll be able to find something else. And by the way, I just want to let the guy know, Daniel doesn't have a lot of Nintendo based.
It might not be in his field, but she'll
get
a job.
I do hire. I would give him a job if he wanted to sell telecom.
Oh,
telecom.
No.
You know what? When it comes down to it, any employer that looks at this story and actually reads through it and listens to the podcast, the guy didn't go off like, oh my gosh, Nintendo's so horrible, I can't stand working there, all this stuff. He didn't blast his employer. You know, he went on and he talked about Nintendo and he talked about Nintendo
culture. And he was honest. He was honest about what was going on, including the good, the bad, the ugly.
The bad. Yeah, exactly.
And that's what really sucks too. I guess I agree. And I really like.
You don't want to agree, but you agree.
Exactly. Because I really want to be able to get. I mean, there's a bit of journalism that actually happens here, which. Yeah. I know it's kind of surprising, but it's legit. And, you know, we work really hard to try to bring honest, you know, to bring honest stories that matter within our particular sphere of influence. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that what we're doing isn't as important as what's going on in Syria, but, you know,
and it's not on Go Nintendo to check the Nintendo terms and conditions for its employees. It was on the employee to do it. So for, you know.
Well,
for,
and he knew. You could,
I don't know. It sounded like it was a little confusing to him, but, you know, he's a good guy. It's a good company. No one's at fault here. It's just, A plus B equals C, and unfortunately, C sucks.
Exactly. And I guess that's true. That's kind of where I was at with it, too. I'm really disappointed to see that it happened. I understand exactly why they did it, but, yeah, what are you going to do? So, okay. So, we're gonna wrap this. I wanted to go a little bit deeper into this one, but we've kind of run over in a couple others, and I really want to keep the show length good. So we're gonna jump straight into, some shameless plugs. So, Danielle, do you have any shameless plugs?
Just that I am watching Doctor Who, and for our anniversary, we got our Disney passes back. So we went to the UK, and I went
the UK at Epcot. At Epcot. Right, we got Disney passes, just, and then bought tickets overseas because I really wanted to
get my Disney pass back. Finally, I can book my tickets.
I just assume you guys know what I meant. Anyways,
that's not a passport.
Oh right.
Actually, you know what? Looks like you can invest in Minas Tirith. You can now. You know, you should really.
But while we were there, like, I was geeking out finally over the Doctor Who stuff at the shop at the UK because they've always been there, but, like, I've never really appreciated this stuff. And so now, like, I really appreciate, like, the Daleks. That's how you say it.
Which Doctor are you – which Doctor are you currently on?
I'm still on David Tennant. I just
– Best.
I just started season 4 with the little Titanic episode. Ooh. Which is really good. I'm almost done. I'm almost done with that episode. I will tell you, as far as David Tennant is concerned, well, I don't want to get into Doctor Who stuff. We really need a whole episode dedicated to it.
Agree.
We'll wait till you're finished. And then
yeah,
go from there.
But, yeah. But no, I'm a big fan.
Who's the companion right now? I'm trying to remember.
Well, it was Martha Jones, and now he's on the Titanic. There's no companion.
Okay, Okay.
Because I don't think Astrid will be.
You're about to get the best companion ever.
I don't think Astrid will be a companion because her name's too weird. Like, they always pick companions with really simple names, and Astrid is not a very simple name.
Wow.
What?
Good insight.
So far, we've had Rose Tyler and Martha Jones. I know Amy Pond is one. I mean, they're all really
about,
well,
what about Amelia? Amelia seems kind of like a weird name.
But they call her Amy.
Shut up, dude.
Okay.
Is that Amy Pond that I just said?
Yeah, okay. he's messing with Luke. Okay, so
River.
Still, oh.
River
okay.
Song?
Okay, wait. So your shameless plug. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
It's on Netflix. It's on Hulu.
Someone buy me Doctor Who stuff.
Okay. All right. Any shameless plugs for you there, Mr. Rogers? Dan Rogers?
No, I'm good.
Oh. Okay. Sure, why not? I am going to, let's see, what, I want to, you know what, I'm going to shamelessly plug, I'm going to go back and give Supernatural, you know, no, I take that back. I want to go back and show some love to the Hilly Hindi, the Hindi.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Hollywood,
Hindi show, Hindi.
No, she's got a simple
stop name. Saying that. It doesn't make any sense.
they do.
Like stuttering over one word.
They're, It's a YouTube channel where we'll have Dan grab the right name of it here. They do parodies. They do a fantastic job. I've watched a couple of their videos, and they're just. I'm really impressed with the production quality, with the amount of work that they put into it. I'm not
Hillywood Show.
The Hillywood Show. There we go. They do a lot of great stuff. They actually have an amazing Doctor Who parody, and they've got an amazing Supernatural parody. Those both.
Do I have to wait until I'm finished with Doctor Who to watch the parody?
No, actually. Oh wait, you gotta wait until you're done with David Tennant.
Okay, yeah. Then I can watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We'll watch it after that.
Okay,
And it's. I mean, they just do really, really great stuff. So if you're, I mean, they're worth checking out. They're worth looking around. I also want to give out another. I'm gonna give another shout out to Ian Leano, the T-shirt guy.
Yeah,
he is just his design. I was looking through some of the T-shirts, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Ian, send me a shirt.
and the last bit, Nathan Fillion is currently got his own charity, shirt that he's selling for charity. And it's a picture of him as Malcolm Reynolds. And it says, I shoot first underneath it. And I need it. I need it so badly.
Do you not have $25?
I do not. Oh. My wife is due in like a week. We're not going to be able to do.
She's due in like 2 weeks.
You get a push present too, right?
I've been asking. Nobody no. seems to be interested
Did
in buying.
Did you get her a push present?
I got her for the first kid. I got her one. I'm probably going to get, I'm debating.
Just rewrap that gift and be like, push again.
No, get her another one.
Okay, buy her the same thing, but just say push again.
So that's it. Also, do you want to go ahead and do the plug us?
Listen to us.
Find us on iTunes. You can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends, tell your enemies. If you find us there, that's going to be the best way to get our review out there. And this way you can actually get our numbers up. Every time we get a good review from you guys, we end up in those top rankings. And it'd be really nice to get up there and stay up there so we can get some more subscriber base going. So please.
There you go. You can also find us at For Geek's Sake. That is For Geek's Sake. Just search for us on Facebook. You can find a bunch of great original content, including board game reviews, other awesome dork stuff that happens around the web. It is a fantastic one-stop shop for all things geek. And
on Twitter, we are at the number 4 Geek's Sake. That's 2 S's. The number 4 Geek's Sake. We do have a hashtag that we ask you guys to use, to send us in a hard question. And so far we have only received hard questions from the same person, Mr. Steel Owl.
But way to be consistent,
but
Steel Owl. We appreciate
that.
You're awesome.
And how you tweet us your hard questions is to use the hashtag question. That's the word question. The number 4 and geeks. So question for geeks. Okay, so we do have a hard question, Al.
All right.
And Mr. Rogers, are you guys ready?
Go for it.
What is the most ridiculous magic item you have ever run across in gaming, movies, etc.?
I've got the Helm of the Seven Deaths in my in one of my Dungeons and Dragons games. It is a it's a helmet that has 7 gems in it, and as I kill people, I can trap their soul inside one of the gems, and I can release souls to give myself bonuses.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
See, I didn't go ridiculous as in like, I went ridiculous like just.
Oh, powerful?
Like, well, no.
I like mine because it was just crazy.
No, I like kind of off the wall out there. Oh, you know what? I had this, there's another, actually from Dungeons and Dragons. I think it's called Ossiplax. And, basically what it does is, you rub it on, you apply the wax to an object and the object immediately starts floating. And it will stay floating for like 24 hours or something like that. And so basically,
but what's the purpose of that?
It
makes things really light.
It makes it easy to transport heavy objects. I don't know. But here's what I would do, because it's not really designed for battle. It's not something that you know, you're supposed to do. But what I would do with my character is I had a character just kind of built around using stuff like this. So he would run up to you, and he would use the Ossip Wax, and he would, like, rub it on all of your stuff so you floated, like you floated off the ground, and then he would just push you. And you would just... I mean, he was a little gnome, so he wasn't like terribly strong, but you just keep floating until you go, because you can't do anything about it because you can't reach the ground. And he would go around and just like run up behind you, put the wax on you, float, and then he would push you. That one, and his little, he had little clockwork bombs. You just twist them and you put them down and they would just start walking away and then eventually go boom. That character's name was Gobin Garmichael Gearbit the Fourth.
Awesome.
I love that character.
Mine's Plaque Holder.
I don't have one because you guys won't let me play with you.
Right.
No girls allowed.
That's right. That's if there's one thing I think that For Geek's Sake is all about.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. That's really been, I think, a big thing for us.
Yeah, so if this is your first time listening to us, just remember, no girls allowed.
No girls allowed.
All right. That is all.
But also go back and listen to our Fake Geek Girl episode, too. So.
I was really hoping she'd come on the show.
I know.
I was really...
Oh, sorry, real quick. I'm sorry. I do have a shameless plug. It's for you guys talked about last week, Spider-Gwen. My daughter's name is Gwen, and so I bought the entire comic book first editions, and I'm going to read them with her whenever she gets old enough. So go read Spider-Gwen.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for us. We want to once again thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure that you are following us on Facebook, that you're subscribing to the podcast, leave a good review, all of that kind of fun stuff. If you've got a hard question, remember that's the number 4. That is
hashtag
question. I'm so bad at this.
Number 4 geeks. Question for geeks.
Question hashtag. For geeks. There we go. We want to thank you guys so much for listening. We will.
Worst.
No, that part is accurate. We will talk to you guys next week. Thank you so much.